This morning, I want to invite you to consider two questions. Throughout this message, we're going to focus on these two questions. I want to invite you to consider these two questions for this Christmas message. Number one, what is the Christmas story? What is the Christmas story? And number two, is it true? What is the Christmas story, and is it true? Let's consider these two questions. I want to start with question number two, actually. Is the Christmas story true? You know, truth is very important. The truth about a story, imagine like a news story that comes out through the newspapers or through the news on the internet, has great implications. And for the past 3 years, we've experienced this firsthand. With all the different COVID restrictions, church is going to close down. Restaurants are going to close down. The borders are going to be closed. Or it's going to be open. 21 days of quarantine, and you have to do this and this and that. Or it's going to be 14 days. Now it's 7 days. And throughout these 3 years, we've had to pay close attention to the news, and we wanted to verify, hey, is what we're hearing, the rumors we're hearing, is it true? It was always this way. Usually the local papers will get the news first. So we would have our local staff members kind of get the news first from some kind of local source. And then we would say, well, is it true? Can we verify it? And we would always have to wait. We'd have to say, well, it's a rumor. This is what they are saying. Sources are saying. And we wait and wait until we get the official press release from the government. And then we say, well, this is what is true. This is the true news story. In the beginning of this year, we were actually waiting for our helper. We last July gave birth to our third baby girl right here. And it was a very special time. And right around that time was actually when this helper from the Philippines was supposed to come join our family. So that would have been last July. But because of COVID, things just got delayed and delayed and delayed. And it was beginning of this year, 2022. And it was around March or April or something like that. And it was before the fifth wave had hit Hong Kong. So things were kind of opening up. And it looked like she was able to come. And so we talked to our agent, bought the ticket, and we actually booked her the 21-day hotel quarantine. And we were just excited and waiting and hoping that she would get here. And then the fifth wave started getting quite serious. And then we heard a rumor that flights from the Philippines was going to be canceled for another 2 weeks. And who knows how long that's going to be extended for. And so when we heard the rumor, we thought, oh no, but it's not verified yet. Maybe it's not true. Maybe the government won't say this. So we actually tuned, that was the first time I tuned into the live press conference to hear what they were going to say. And lo and behold, in the press conference, they announced flights from the Philippines are canceled for 2 weeks, and we'll see how it develops, and maybe it will go longer. And it fell right in the time that she was supposed to come. And so what happens when the news gets verified, when the story, the truth of the news story gets verified, we sprung into action, we canceled the hotel, we had to rebook everything, we had to rebook the flights and make new plans, somehow figure out how we're going to be without a helper for a few more weeks. When the news or the announcement is true, when the news or announcement is true, it leads to a response. It leads to some kind of action. The Christmas story, yes, they are stories, but they could be considered as news or announcement as well. The Christmas story, maybe the Christmas announcement, the Christmas news story. Essentially, there are two major Christmas stories that we grow up with. Number one, announcement one, Santa Claus is coming to town. That's the first story that we grow up with. Announcement number two, Jesus. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Jesus has been born. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Santa Claus is coming to town. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. What's the story of Santa Claus? I don't know if your children are here, you may want to distract them right now. Because we're going to talk a little bit about Santa Claus. And fair warning, okay? So what's the story of Santa Claus? He lives in the North Pole. He's got his elves, his reindeer. He comes down through the chimney. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. And if you're nice, you're going to receive all these things that you wish for. And if you're not, if you're naughty, you're not going to get anything. Is this story, or is the announcement, Santa Claus is coming to town, is it true? Well, hopefully by now, we're all aware. Yeah, this is a story. This is a fairy tale, and it's not true. We know the answer. But I want us to pause for a moment. What if this were true? Well, Santa Claus is coming to town. He already came and left last night. But what if this were true? Santa Claus is coming to town. This supernatural being who knows all of your deeds is coming to town. And once a year, if you've been good, you're going to receive all that you wish for. Wow, that will change your life, right? We would make sure we're not pouting. We would make sure we're not fighting. We would make sure we're not crying. We'll make sure we're good for goodness sake, because we want to receive what Santa Claus has to offer to us. How about the other Christmas story, or the other Christmas announcement? Joy to the world, the Lord has come. 2,000 years ago on this Christmas day, Jesus, the Son of God, was born of the Virgin Mary. And he was God who became flesh to live among us and to die for us so that we can be forgiven of our sins, saved from death, and have eternal life and everlasting glory. And I want to invite you to ask this question. For any guests here today, and you're not a believer, have you ever considered the question, is this true? Why do we even have Christmas for 2,000 years? Why do we have this Christmas tradition? Where does it come from? This is the original Christmas story. It's not Santa Claus, it's Jesus Christ. Is it true? And for our believers, for our SP members, our family, have you ever wondered, why do I believe that this is true? Why do I believe this is true? What's the evidence? What are the arguments for and against the truth of the New Testament, for the truth of the gospel story? Why do I believe that this is true? For an announcement this important, doesn't it merit a deeper look? A deeper study, a serious consideration of this question, is this true? Because if it were true, I think it demands a response. Just as I found out the news about the flights being canceled and I sprung into action, the truth of that story demanded a response from me. Well, if this is true, the Lord has come, the Savior of the world has been born and has come, is God who became flesh, doesn't it demand a response or an action? If this is true, that God became one of us out of his love, he laid aside glory, came down as a baby to live among us, to suffer with us, to die for our sins, how can we not trust him and love him and follow him? But if it weren't true, what are we doing here anyway? Why are we here? If this weren't true, if we don't even know, I don't know. The church says it's true. My parents have said it's true. My pastor thinks it's true. But why do you think it's true? I don't know. If it weren't true, what are we doing here? Why are we here? The scripture says, if the story of Jesus isn't true, specifically this is talking about the resurrection, but I think it applies to the general story of Jesus. If the story of Jesus wasn't true, the scripture says we are of all men most to be pitied, right? We should be pitied of everybody else because we're living this life following this God based on this story, but if this weren't true, what are we doing here anyway? You know, so over this past 3 years, I think we experienced firsthand rumors and news stories, but you are not really sure, right? You go to Dim Sum Daily and you're like, is this really true? How reliable is Dim Sum Daily? Or how reliable is my Facebook post from a friend? Or how reliable is a WhatsApp forward message that gets passed around to everybody? And it says, oh, the borders are opening. Or no, the churches are closing. Or this and this is happening. What do we have to do? We have to verify, right? I mean, I think it just has gotten worse and worse and worse. You know, with all, especially WhatsApp forwards. You get any WhatsApp forward and it's a somewhat surprising or shocking or amusing, what do? I verify, right? It's a, when the typhoon is happening in Hong Kong, people send around lots of videos of what's happening. Oh, look at what's happening in Hong Kong. And you verify, this is not even Hong Kong. Some other country, this happened 5 years ago. Somebody videoed it and it's being passed around like it's happening right now in Hong Kong, you know? World Cup highlights, right? I've seen many, many clips on YouTube, Instagram. World Cup 2022 highlight, Argentina versus this. And then you watch, I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. And later on you find out, this is 8 years ago, you know, 12 years ago, some another highlight that happened, and you're like, disappointed. Same thing with COVID news. We have to verify and verify and verify to make sure. Let me get to the truth of this. I want to read a text to you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. John, talking about Jesus, uses the words heard, seen, looked at, touched, testify. John's making a clear statement here. He's saying, hey guys, what I'm saying about Jesus, this is true. Myself and the other disciples, we are eyewitnesses of Jesus. We have seen him heal the sick, forgive sins, cast out demons. We have been with him. We saw him when he went up on the cross, and we have touched the resurrected body of Jesus. This is not a fairy tale. John is saying we're eyewitnesses of what has happened. You know, today we don't have time to discuss the evidence for the truth of the New Testament, especially the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, primarily our source for the story of Jesus. But I want to invite you to consider that question and try to find out, is the story, is the announcement found in the Gospels true? Is the announcement of Christmas true, that Jesus, the Savior of the world, was born 2,000 years ago? Are the sources that we have reliable? If you're not a believer, I want to suggest to you, this is too important to ignore. And if you are a believer, who are an SP member or a church family, this is too important to simply say, oh, my parents told me. Oh, someone WhatsApp forwarded me the Christmas story and I believe it to be true. Right? It's too important to simply just say, I don't know, someone told me, my wife believes it, my parents told me that this is true, my church says so, so I believe it. Right? The stakes are too high. So I want to invite you this Christmas season, or maybe next year, make it a goal. Study a little bit. There's a lot of information out there, a lot of videos and books you can get on the reliability of the New Testament, especially the Gospels, and find out, are the sources reliable? Why do I believe that the story of Christmas is true? Let's go to question number one. What is the Christmas story? What is the Christmas story? Most of us are probably familiar with the nativity story, right? Mary and Joseph. Mary is pregnant. They have to go to another town called Bethlehem to register for the census. And while they're there, it's time for Mary to give birth. They can't find room in an inn, so they end up in a manger. And she gives birth to baby Jesus in a manger. But there is a story behind that story that is revealed in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 12. Let's turn there. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. You can look at the screen. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Look at verse 11 again. "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The story of Christmas is not simply the nativity story. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. Yes, that's the story. That is what happened. But the story behind that story, the true story of Christmas, the true announcement of Christmas is that when that baby Jesus was born in a manger, it was actually the Savior of the world that was coming into our world from heaven. When the baby Jesus was being born, it was the Savior of the world that was coming into our world. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Isaiah is writing this about 700 years before Jesus, but he is inspired by the Holy Spirit to see into the future of the coming of Jesus. And he says, "The coming of Jesus is a great light dawning upon this land of deep darkness." This land of deep darkness. The Christmas story, like any good story, begins by setting the scene of a gloomy situation. The world, this world that you and I are living in, is a land of deep darkness. Think of, these are the movies that I enjoy. Think of all the great movies. But I realize not everybody might agree that this is a great movie. But think of all the entertaining movies. Number one, Matrix. I think most of us are old enough to have watched The Matrix. The Matrix, what's The Matrix? How do they set the scene? We find out in The Matrix, it begins with the revelation that robots have taken over the world. And all of us living here, this is not reality. We're actually plugged into the system. They're using us as batteries to keep the machines going. And we're just living in our mind. And it's a hopeless situation. And there's gloom, there's doom. But Neo, the main character, he's the one that's going to save humanity. Braveheart, another great movie. Amen? Braveheart, right? Braveheart. How do they set the scene? Scotland is under the oppressive rule of England. They're being oppressed. Their freedom is being taken from them. And it's so bad that William Wallace, who wishes to just live a peaceful life, is forced to become this leader of the freedom fighters of Scotland. And obviously, he leads them to this great fight, and freedom is won. Let's think of a more modern example. Top Gun. Top Gun Maverick. How do they set the scene? This unidentified terrorist nation is threatening the world with this secret technology. And the mission to take them out is so difficult that nobody can do it until Maverick comes to the scene. And he's able to do this impossible mission, fly this impossible route to save the world. You know, without the backdrop, without setting the scene, the characters mean very little, right? Without the backdrop of robots taking over the world, Neo is just a really talented hacker. Without the backdrop of the oppression of England, William Wallace is just a really smart, good-looking, brave guy who became a farmer and lived a peaceful life. Without setting the scene of Top Gun, Maverick is just an arrogant, talented pilot living in the past. But with the story of the dire situation, how important is the story of the hero? Imagine we have a movie, but we just have the dire situation. We just have robots have taken over the world, but there is no Neo. That's also not a movie we want to watch. That's just a depressing movie. England is oppressing Scotland, but there is no William Wallace, and so they just are oppressed, and their freedom is taken away. Top Gun, there is this terrorist nation. They have the secret tech. No one can fly the mission, and sadly, therefore, the terrorist nation takes over the world. Without the hero, without the backdrop, the hero means little, but without the hero, man, that's just a depressing story. And the good news for us is the Christmas story has both. The Christmas story is really the gospel story. That the world that we're living in, actually all of us, we are sinners. The world is dark. Why? Not because there is a cosmic force of darkness that's making it dark. Yes, that's also true. But the world is dark because we have made it dark. Because the darkness in our own hearts have come into the world. And we have thus made the world a dark place. And you know, Christmas, because Christmas is supposed to be such a time of hope and love and joy and peace, sometimes because of what Christmas is supposed to be, the darkness of our hearts is actually even more stark. It's even easier to see because of what Christmas is supposed to be. Christmas is supposed to be a time of love and hope and peace and joy and forgiveness. But for some reason, many of us just feel kind of down at Christmas time. Because we are made even more aware of, man, my life just isn't what Christmas is supposed to be like. You know, and we see the world, Christmas, we have one day out of the year where people try to be good and forgiving. But I'm sure for many of you, just like me, Christmas Day, even for one day, is so difficult to live out the Christmas spirit. Forgiveness, loving kindness to everybody, and having a good heart toward everything. The story of Christmas is that, you know, Christmas is there's a theme of light in Christmas, right? We have beautiful lights today. And light represents what is good. Darkness obviously represents what is evil, what is messed up, what is broken in our lives. And you know, the world likes to think that Christmas is a time where the light will shine. This is what a New York Times article said about Christmas time. The meaning of Christmas is that love will triumph and that we will be able to put together a world of unity and peace. The meaning of Christmas is that love will triumph and that we will be able to put together a world of unity and peace. What a nice sentiment, and the writer would have been sincere when he said it, but the reality is, the world doesn't work like that. Yes, the meaning of Christmas is that love is supposed to triumph. But the stark reality of the world is love doesn't triumph. And the light of Christmas that we so often hope that it would come from within us. You know, we switch on the light and we're able to pour, you know, the joy, peace, love, forgiveness will come out of us. But the reality is, man, what is inside of our hearts is not light. Often it's darkness. You know, we try so hard to be loving, but we're filled with pride, greed, selfishness, hypocrisy. And the Christmas story is that actually the light of Christmas is not something that comes from within. It's something that comes from above. The light of Christmas is something that needed to come from above. It's a gracious gift of God because because of the dire situation of this world. Because he knew that we couldn't make the world, we couldn't save ourselves, we couldn't make the world good on our own. Therefore, light had to come upon us as a gracious gift. Christmas is a time of gift giving, right? I hope you have received some good gifts. Some gifts are better than others, right? And I want to talk about a specific type of gift that is very difficult to receive at times. And I'm talking about the gift of feedback. The gift of feedback. Sometimes people offer you feedback, and it's not really a pleasant gift, you know? I remember when our first son was born, and he was young, and we had him on a stroller, and we would, parents would understand. Sometimes you're in a rush. Of course it's not safe, as safe, to take the escalator, you know, with your stroller. But the elevator is always so far away. You have to always go so far around to get to the elevator, so you just take the escalator. And we did that many times with our son. One day, an older gentleman looked at us and said, "What are you doing? This is dangerous. You know, you gotta do that. And I just got so annoyed. I was like, "We're fine. I know what I'm doing." the gift of feedback, you know, the gift of feedback. Sometimes, you know, because I'm in charge of worship ministry, and we have, you know, Wesley, Cardia, our younger leaders sometimes lead worship, and I feel responsible and I feel obligated to give them the gift of feedback sometimes, you know, and I'm always very thankful that they're very gracious in receiving feedback. You know, I go to them and they're never, at least they don't show it to me. They never say, "What are you talking about? I thought it was fantastic. You know, I thought it was perfect. You know, I don't need this feedback." They're always like, "Oh, I always want to learn. I always want to grow. Thank you for this. Thank you for that." Even for this sermon, you know, I was practicing it. You know, I like to practice it at least once in front of my wife so that she can provide the gift of feedback. And last night, oh man, it was just difficult. It was one of those truthful feedback that was difficult to receive. But you know what? If I can humble myself and say, difficult and it's hard and it's ouch, but I appreciate it. I think you're right. I think the feedback you're providing is right. I receive it. And if I can receive that feedback with a humble heart, then I truly benefit from that gift. And I think the gift of God in Jesus Christ is the same thing. It's like God is providing feedback on the world and saying, "Oh, this is a land of deep darkness." And it's not just dark because somebody else did this or that. It's dark because you have darkness in your heart. And God sees that. And he says, "It's so dark, actually, that I don't think it's just going to be fixed by behavior modification. And therefore, I'm sending you the gift of my son, Savior of the world, the light that is dawning from someplace else so that it can overcome the darkness that is in your heart and the darkness that is in the world." And for us to be able to say to God, "Thank you. Thank you so much for this gift." If we can get to that place of saying that, I think you're understanding the story of Christmas, both the backdrop and the hero of Jesus. Okay, amen. I want to go into a song. We're going to sing Silent Night. And I just want to invite you to meditate on that. Wesley is going to sing, let's sing all three verses. And then I'll lead us through a time of response. But let's sing the song. Let's meditate on the words of this song. Verse 2, I especially like verse 2. It says, "Christ the Savior was born. Would you consider with me your need for a Savior?" Consider with me your need for a Savior. Even if you are a believer, you know, coming to Jesus and receiving his grace and receiving his love is not just a one-time thing that happens when we first become a Christian. It's actually a daily recognition of, man, I was forgiven on that day, but I keep on living out darkness, and actually the light of Jesus needs to continuously shine into my heart. to heal me, to forgive me, and to strengthen me. And it's not something I can do on my own. So let's just pray about that. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for this Christmas time, and thank you for the Christmas story. You know, I believe it to be true, Lord, and that the Christmas story is more than just a nativity story, but it's the coming of the Savior of the world. And the backdrop to the coming of the Savior is that this world that we're living in is a land of deep darkness because of me. And we're in need of a hero. We're in need of a Savior. So I pray, God, that you would speak to us today. Help us to come before you in humility. Help us to have honest assessment of our lives, God. See if there's any darkness in us that we cannot overcome on our own. And as we sing this song, listen to this song, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll speak to us.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Opportunity to respond to the message of Christmas, the announcement of Christmas that the Savior of the world has been born. And I don't know if you're a believer, but if you're not a believer and you haven't received the gift of God in Jesus Christ as Savior of the world and as your Savior, the one that can come to forgive you of your sins and overcome the darkness that is in your own heart, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And so, yeah, with all of our eyes closed, all I want to ask you to do, if you're in that place and you want to receive Jesus into your heart, I just want to ask you to place your hand over your heart. Place your hand over your heart. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and you just have to receive the prayer. You just have to agree with it in your mind And at the end of that prayer, whisper with me and say, Amen. Amen means I agree. Yes, I believe it. I agree with that prayer. And I want to invite you to consider, is the Christmas story true? Is it true that this world is a land of deep darkness? And I am a participator in that. And the Savior of the world has come. The gift of God is this light of the world that has come. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Christmas story that into this land of deep darkness, a great light has dawned. The light of God has come upon this world, this land of deep darkness. And God, I confess to you that I participate in making the world a dark place. The darkness of my own heart, the selfishness of my own heart, the pride of my own heart, the hypocrisy of my own life. It contributes to the darkness of this world. And I confess to you, God, that it's not something I can overcome on my own. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And this morning, I want to receive you into my heart. I want to receive you into my life. I want to humble myself and recognize that I need the Savior of the world to come into my own heart and to forgive me of my sins and to transform me into a new person. So, Lord Jesus, thank you. I receive you. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you're not ready to do that, I want to at least invite you, would you take this year, 2023, to really ask the question, is this Christmas story true? Is the story of Jesus true? What are the sources? I want to verify so that you can so you can find out the truth of what God is saying. Let me bless you with a benediction prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Shalom from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. Have a great day today. God bless you.